So it's good afternoon and welcome. The session this afternoon is the Mastering of Cube Functions in Excel 2013. Before I dive in with an introduction, just a quick poll of the audience. Who here has already worked with the cube functions in Excel? Raise your hands high. Okay, so I count maybe a dozen hands coming up. So out of this room, maybe 5%. And that's typical for what I find when I poll people about, haven't you built reports with the cube functions before? And either they've never heard of them, or they've heard of them, and I just have no concept on how I would use them. So the title of this session, somewhat ambitiously, is saying we're going to make you a master. Let me just add a footnote there. You can't see it. It's off the bottom of the screen. I do not promise you will be a master of the cube functions. But certainly the content that's included in this presentation deck and that I will cover in some demonstrations as well will lead you on the path to mastery. Is that fair enough? Okay, let's make a start. 60 minutes is not a long time to talk about this topic. My name is Peter Myers. I'm from Australia. I have been working with Microsoft BI for well over 12 years now, and I focus on SQL Server, Office, and SharePoint. And of course, this fits nicely into that as an Excel topic with reporting. If there's any need to contact me, by the way, I am a trainer and a consultant in this space as well. I include contact details here, or you're welcome to come up and meet me afterwards. The same applies for any questions that may not be addressed during the presentation. Please feel free to track me down. The session objectives then are to introduce each of the 7 cube functions that are available with Excel. We'll describe when to use them and, just as importantly, when not to use them. Provide recommended practices, provide interesting scenarios that are of an advanced nature, and then I'll demonstrate a number of different scenarios showing off what you can achieve with these cube functions. Okay, so let's get started with an introduction. They have been here for the last 3 releases of Excel. Excel 2007 is when we first saw them appear. They have not changed since 2007. All right, so if that's the version you're on, or you're on 2010, everything is still applicable to what's covered here. These cube functions allow you to create layouts for reports cell by cell. They must be based on an analysis services BI semantic model. It doesn't matter whether it's tabular or multidimensional, with one small exception. So tabular in the pass-through mode, which is named direct query, can't be used. The reason for this is that the cube functions send MDX queries, and MDX cannot be used to query a direct query tabular model. Beyond that, any data model will work. Reports can allow users to input via slices, via the new timelines added in Excel 2013. Also, users can pass values into cells, and you can dynamically build up expressions based on the input of the entered values. The cube function arguments can be defined by using expressions that could be Excel expressions or MDX expressions, or a combination of the two. Most cube functions issue at least one query to the data model. So you'd want to be careful and prepared for this, that in some scenarios, let's just use an extreme, you had 1 million cube functions in a worksheet. This is not impossible, probably not recommended though. It could result in 1 million queries being sent to the data model to satisfy the needs of that report. Okay, so you want to minimize that naturally. Thinking of Power Pivot, however, if you have a Power Pivot data model, so within the same workbook, data model and reports using the cube functions, this is all happening in memory on the client. So I'd probably be less concerned about 1 million queries taking place if it's Power Pivot. Cube function report layouts can be created by converting from pivot tables. So how about I use this as a very starting introduction? I have a SharePoint site here, and when I navigate to the data connections, I have a couple of data connections I'll be using. Reseller sales is in fact a multi-dimensional BI semantic model, also known as a cube. The warranty sales is in fact a Power Pivot workbook. Just by clicking the link to the Office data connection file here, it will launch Excel and it will add a workbook connection and a pivot table that connects to that cube. So as an example, I could come in here and produce a report that shows me sales, filters this by the fiscal year hierarchy, so let me filter by fiscal year 2010, there's the sales. And then to provide some context for those sales, I could introduce from my salesperson dimension, the salespeople hierarchy, and then, you know, I could drill right down to the bottom level. And I could also add in member properties. Go and show me the phone number of the salespeople. So if your pivot table is based on an analysis services data model, you can then switch this across to formulas. So this is the easiest way to get started with cube functions. The only question that you really have to address is, what happens to the filter up here in cell B1? You can convert it, or you can leave it in place. Leaving it in place allows this, but what you'll then see is that these are cube member functions. Extracting cell by cell members, values, and in fact, member properties from the data model. What this means now is we can do things that a pivot table couldn't. For example, I now want to insert a column in there and do something that I couldn't have done in a pivot table. Be aware the conversion of pivot table to formulas is a one-way process. You can't go backwards. And perhaps why would you? Okay, the cube functions can work well for some report designs. I'll demonstrate such designs today. They may not work well for other designs that we'll cover off later in this session. So let's now take a look at the 7 cube functions. This presentation is an ideal resource for you to download at a later time. So I'm not going to read word for word what's on here. We'll introduce the 7 functions and I'll reinforce their usage via demonstration. Of the 7 cube functions, 6 of them require a connection. That requires a workbook connection to an analysis services model. Typically an external model, but could be a Power Pivot internal model. They can also take a caption. Most of them take a caption that means that the result that is returned in the cell is the caption that you've given. And so you might provide a more friendly or appropriate label instead of what would naturally be returned by whatever function you're returning. Cube member takes a connection, wants a member expression, and optionally a caption that would be placed instead. If you don't specify a caption, it will be the member name from the model. Now, you can pass in inputs like this. There's the unique name to a member within a hierarchy. You can pass references to other cells. You can also pass in sets. The cube set, via a connection, allows you to retrieve a set by expression. Any valid MDX set expression could be used. Anything that returns a set. You can provide a caption. You can also control the sort order and direction. Cube set count, the simplest of the 7 cube functions, doesn't require a connection. You would just pass in a cube set to it. It would tell you the number of members contained in the set. Cube ranked member would be used to retrieve a ranked item from the set, starting with 1, moving forward. The request outside the bounds of the set, for example, if we have 12 members in the set, you request the rank of 13, we'll come back with an error. Cube value then retrieves a value based on a connection and then as many filters as you want to pass in. Okay, what you can pass in here are member expressions. You can also pass in slices and timelines. The KPI member, pass in a connection, the name of the KPI, so tabular and multidimensional models support defining KPIs, and then you have an enumeration there for the KPI property. Are you bringing back the value, goal, status, trend, weight, or the current time member? And then finally, the member property. The connection, the member, and then the name of the property, like phone. So there's the 7 functions. Time for some demonstrations. Okay, so switching back to this Excel workbook, just to point out the use there of a cube member function, a cube member property function for the phone property, and then here a cube value. And you can see the cube value for this particular one takes in 3 filters. From B1, we have the filter for fiscal year. From A6, we have the member for the Canada country. And then we have D3, representing the member for the sales measure. Delete. So now I have a workbook that does continue to define a connection to the reseller sales cube. And I'm going to be using this to go ahead and construct my report. Okay, now as a recommended practice, especially as some of your cube report layouts become complex, is you define a scratch area. This could be a separate worksheet within the workbook, or it could be just a reserved area outside the range of your intended report design. The reason for this is that you want to build up your logic incrementally, and you want to comment it. Because believe me, when you open this up 6 months later, it'll be like, what was I thinking? Okay, you can get away with just nesting cube functions within cube functions, but I'd strongly recommend breaking it down and unit testing it and then incrementally building up the design that you want. So, to give you some idea about the report I'm about to build, it's going to prompt the user for a fiscal year, it's going to prompt them for the measure that they want to report on, and then it's going to lay out the ability for them to use a slicer to change region. It'll show them the four quarters of the selected year. It will show them all the product categories on the rows, and at the intersection, it's going to have the values of the sales or the measure that has been selected. So my scratch area for this report will be in the top of the report range. So fiscal year is just a label. I'm going to then say that the user can put in here a unique name like this, date from the fiscal year hierarchy. I want the key 2010. It will pay off to understand MDX to really get the most out of these functions. So what I've built here is a unique name for a member via its key. That's what the ampersand is defining. So a member with the key of 2010 in the fiscal year hierarchy of the date dimension. Strongly recommended that you provide named ranges for these incremental snippets. Because when you build up your formulas, you can reference not via cells, but by the named range itself. So now I've created in cell B1 a name range called fiscal year, and there's the unique name for the fiscal year. The other input we want from the user will be the measure. And so for now, I'm just going to put sales in there, and I'll provide a named range of measure. Next, I build up the measure MDX. And this is where you can start to use Excel to build up the unique name on the measure's dimension, bring in the measure named range, and that's the unique name that the cube would want. So I'm going to name this measure MDX. Next, in preparation for the fiscal quarters that I will need, okay, this is the way that it works in this cube. So I'm going to test someone's MDX knowledge here. If I know what the unique member is for the fiscal year, that's in cell B1, and in a related hierarchy, it'd be the fiscal hierarchy of the date dimension, I want to extract all members that are related to it. What MDX function would do this? Descendants. Who said what? Descendants. No, different hierarchy. This is a fiscal year hierarchy. I want to go to another hierarchy.
All?
Members. Nope.
Parallel members.
No such function. It's not the function. Linked member, no.
Children?
This exploits the attribute relationships in your dimension.
Child.
Begins with the letter E. Who said exist? You, sir, have won a bathrobe. We'll have you model it later in the session. Come see me afterwards, and that is yours. Okay, there's the exist function. So what I'm going to do is build up an MDX expression here that says exists from the date dimension and its fiscal hierarchy. There's a quarter level, so consider all of the members that exists in relationship to this member here. So that's some MDX that will be used to retrieve a set of the four quarters that relate to the fiscal year that has been requested. I'm going to go ahead and give this a friendly name as well. And now I can build up a cube set based on this. All right, so what I'm going to call this is fiscal quarters cube set for the reseller sales equals cube set. Now the IntelliSense here when you use the cube functions is actually very, very good. The first argument that it wants is the connection, and just by typing in a double quote, it gives you a list of all of the workbook connections, of which I have just one. Press tab to introduce it. And then the set expression, look at this. When I build up using open double quotes, it says, well, here's the structure. You know, I could come in here and say, go to the date dimension, and there's the fiscal hierarchy, and there's the all member, and you could build it up this way. I don't need to because the expression is actually here. It's the MDX defined for the fiscal quarters. So now sitting in cell B5 is a cube set. We can test this. What's the cube set count of what's found in B5? As we'd expect, there are four members in there representing the four quarters of that fiscal year. Okay, I'm ready to start laying out my report. So here in cell B8, I'm going to create another cube set. This time what it will do is retrieve from the product's dimension, from the product's hierarchy, not all. Why don't I just say go to the category level and give me the members found at that level. And then the caption would be the word category. So in fact, what you find here in cell B8 just looks like the text category, but there's really an object representing a set of members. What categories do we have? Let me use the cube ranked member based on that connection using this set. Does anyone know what function key I can hit to change whether it's absolute or relative referencing? F4, I saw your hand go up first. I've got a book for you. Come see me at the end of the session. So if you press F4 several times, you see we've got absolute reference and all the combinations. I only learned this like a year ago. I'm thinking, how did I not know this? Let's lock in the reference to B8, and then I want rank number one. And so we'll see that bikes is the first member that's retrieved in that set. Now, what's going to really help you become productive when building these reports is to build what I call template formulas. And a template formula is this. We lock in the coordinates here. Instead of using 1, I'm going to use the row function of A1. So the row function returns the row number. Of A1, it's going to be 1. Guess what? Row of C55 is 55. But the fact is, with that function, I can now copy this formula down, and it's just going to work, with the exception of where you exceed the boundaries of the set. Okay, so now I have my four categories laid out on the rows. What I'm going to lay out across the columns will be the cube ranked member to bring in from here. So not B5. Best practices, we provide a named range for that. Equals cube ranked member. And this time I use the column function. Column of A1 will return 1. Column of B2 will return 2, and so on. Copy this across 4 times, and there are the quarters for fiscal year 2010. We need a total as well. Any suggestions on how we could achieve that? Just sum. Now, I could just sum these 4 together and come up with a total. Why would I discourage people from doing that? That makes a terrible assumption about the aggregate function that is used for that measure, for a start. And the fact is, in cubes, we can override through scoped assignments or custom aggregations. We can override how aggregation happens. We shouldn't really, unless we're forced to, use Excel to decide how to aggregate that data. So what can we bring in that would represent cube of any? Well, yeah, what I'm looking for is the cell here that represents total. I could put the word total in there, but I think I've got a better idea. Why don't we just bring in the cube member of this? That represents the entire year. Instead of showing the year, this is where we can override the default member name by putting the caption of all or total in there. Okay, so we're going to be requesting the 2010 member in this instance as the total. We could be using an aggregate of distinct count here. You don't know. That could be without. It could be totally inappropriate to assume and just sum those together. All right, so far, so good. Getting to the point now where I want to build up some cube values, but I'm not quite ready. First of all, I'll just do some formatting here. Let's make these a little wider. Let's start to make this look like a report. And this is what I love about the cube functions, is that I'm not locked into, you know, what is a certain rigidity of a pivot table, that you've got themes and styles, but you can't really do things cell by cell the way you'd like them to be. For example, I'd like these to be bold. I'd like to use a nice blue color. I've got my four categories. But I've also got some sales data sitting in a separate system. This is something you definitely cannot do with a pivot table, is base it on more than one source. So what I'm going to do is introduce a connection, browse across to the SharePoint doc data connections library and bring in the warranty sales. And just create the connection. And then I'm going to add a new category in here. Bring in the cube member, this time for warranty sales. A little bit of a pause there. This is the first request for the Power Pivot model, so it's actually loading it into memory. Brings back the metadata to describe that there is a product dimension and there is a warranties category. So here I am extending this report to be now based on two data sources. Before I bring in the cube value then, I'm going to insert also a slicer. So slicers return sets. Whatever's been selected is a set that can also be passed in to cube value functions. So in order to allow the user to choose the region, I'll just bring it in and I'll position this here. And now I'm ready to start populating this layout with values. Okay, equals cube value. What connection is it using? And then as many comma separated filters as you want. So the first one would be the measure, comma. Next we will pass in whatever is on the columns, that's C8. Next we'll pass in whatever's on the rows, and then I'll pass in the slicer. Okay, error. Does anyone know why? Because I don't. Salesperson doesn't exist. Well, that is the name of the slicer. Let's take a look. Slicer settings. Its name is slicer salesperson. It's actually the hierarchy that it was based on, I think. So that's fine. If you ever get in this debacle, then just break this down. Can I get it to work like this? No. Reseller sales, measure in MDX. Oh, you know why? Measures. Easy fix though. I didn't have to go to multiple locations to fix that, and that's one good example of why we have the scratch area. So if I restore that to my original, well, I've lost it. It was this, comma, slicer. What I can tell you for quarter one of 2010 for bikes across all regions is that we sold 2.9 million. Now, the template formula discussion comes back here again. If you're particular about C8, and is it C8 or is it $C8 or is it $C8? $C8 is what I'm hearing. What about B9? So I think I disagree with you. I think it's C$8, isn't it? Yeah. All right, knowing your Excel absolute versus relative will pay off. So now if we make that modification, it doesn't change the value, but it does let me copy this across and down. Okay, I do expect the errors for the last row because we've got a member coming from a different connection with a cube value using a different connection here. Okay, so we're going to have to address that. And the way that I'm going to address it is I'm going to create a second reference up here, equals cube set, this time using the warranty sales and the MDX from here. And I'll name it. The problem it's got is that you're referencing C8, which is using the reseller sales. Okay, and that'll work, but the moment we change this to warranty sales, which it needs to be, it won't like it. So it's warranty sales. What I'm going to do is change it instead of using C8, it's going to use the cube ranked member from warranty sales based on this set and give me the first one. If I now copy that across, that's supposed to work. Why is it not? B6, all right, so it should be B dollar B6, thank you. I could name it as well. Okay, and for this one down here, it shouldn't be using the cube ranked member, it should just be using the cube member. Okay, I'm not suggesting this is the best way to build this report, but it lets me show off a number of different things. So if I just pass in this MDX here. Okay, now I have no choice, but if I want a total here, to use Excel capabilities and know that you can sum these. There's no way across different data sources it would know this. Okay, and then I might choose to go ahead and format everything so it looks good. Numeric formatting, no decimal places with a 1,000 separator. And then make this bold and make this like this. So very effectively I brought together two data sources to now allow me to say, well, for a particular region like Canada, for a particular measure like cost, and for even a different year, what's going on with our sales across two systems now into one report. Now I know that if I was tasked with this, perhaps my first instinct would be to go to reporting services and attempt to somehow bring them together or produce some temporary structure that would query one, query the other, put them in a single store and then report from them. But as you can see here, with good design and planning, you can lay it out and introduce it into Excel. All right, something I can't do with a pivot table is I need trend in here. Let me go ahead and insert trend and then use the sparkline feature to show off the trend across, excuse me, the sparkline across the quarters. And I have it show the markers, and then I can copy this down and not overwrite the formatting that I already have there. So now we can see the trend across the quarters. Lastly, to complete my dashboard style report is that I'll introduce a chart to be based on this data. Just a two-dimensional bar chart. And that'll all run off the cube values. I might make this look good. Let's just put a border around that. And then we'll stretch this out. There is the creation of a report based on a variety of different cube functions. I'm going to complete the story by publishing this and showing how I can embed this into a SharePoint dashboard and how the user interaction by passing values into here will actually work. So when publishing this to SharePoint, before I do this, I want to define what Excel services is allowed to render. Okay, and here on the file tab, there are browser view options. By default, the entire workbook will be rendered, but I want it to render just a range. So what I do is I create a range here, and I name this Sales Dashboard. I also, in preparation for publication, turn off the grid lines so it starts to look very un-Excel-like, which is what I like about these functions as well. You can make it look like something that's not Excel. And, you know, play around with styles and things as well. It might be a nicer styling. Now I can come to those options. Tell it just to publish items, and specifically the item that is the sales dashboard. In order to pass values in, specifically for us, to fiscal year and to the measure, you need to parameterize these. So be aware that there are several things that you can parameterize that allow the outside world to pass values in before Excel services start calculating the workbook. Slices, the new timelines in 2013 can also be parameterized, and the pivot table filters, providing you have a named range on the filter itself. And then finally, any single cell named range that consists of a constant value, not a formula. Okay, so understanding that, my fiscal year and my measure can be parameterized. And now I go ahead and save this up to SharePoint. Done. Switching across then to the Power Pivot Gallery. In addition to the warranty sales, it's a Power Pivot workbook. I have my sales dashboard here. The request through Excel services has our dashboard looking like this. However, Thank you. I ran out of prizes. However, this probably isn't the best way to want to prompt users for the inputs, right? They can, but you need to tell them they need to put date in square brackets, dot fiscal year in square brackets, dot ampersand, and so on. So we'd take the next step, and that would be to come to the dashboards and to add a dashboard page through a web part page. Adding a web part page, I'm going to call this the sales dashboard. I'm going to make this a header with a left column. That's where our filters will go. So I've just become a web developer, and now I have these zones to add different web parts. Let's start with adding in from the business data. I have the web access for Excel here. Click add, and then I configure it by selecting the workbook. So I've got my, where is my Power Pivot gallery is here, and there's the sales dashboard. The named item that I published is sales dashboard. Make sure you spell it correct. I don't want a title bar. I don't want a toolbar. And from an appearance point of view, I'll put the title here. And I'll also work with the height. And I think we could probably boost this up to about 800. So as simple as that then, the dashboard has then been added to the web part page, but still it's prompting us for parameters. And that's where here on the left-hand side, I'm going to introduce from my filters. The first one that I'll do will be a choice filter. So remember, the measure just needs to be the name of the measure. The reason for that, remember, is that we encapsulated it into the MDX that it needed. So they just need to pass in the true name of the measure itself. So here, I configure the choices to be, well, it'll be named measure. And then I've got sales, cost, profit, and so on. I'll also specify a default that sales would be the default selection. The name of it will be measure. And the width will be about 120 pixels. Okay, that's filter number one. Filter number two will be an analysis services filter. So the membership of the filter can be driven from a hierarchy from your data model. Naturally, if you think about it, it needs to be the exact hierarchy that you've defined in your model, in your report. So this is the fiscal year hierarchy that I'd be choosing here. It explains why also I was using the unique name here, because this is what the filter would be passing in to the report. Okay, so to configure this, we just need to specify a connection that it will use. So this is going to be fiscal year. I have an office data connection file already published. There it is, use reseller sales. From the date dimension, there's a fiscal year hierarchy. Now, to specify a default for it, you have to pass in the fully qualified name, and you have to, I'm not sure why, I just know because I've tried everything else, you have to pass them in by key, not by name. So I'll default to the fiscal year with a key of 2010. And we'll give this a title, fiscal year, and change its width to 120. So the final step in the creation of this dashboard is to define the connections. That fiscal year here, we should connect by sending filter values to the sales dashboard. That's the name of the Excel web access part. Go and get values for parameters. And here are the two parameters defined in that workbook. This one maps across to fiscal year. And you can see across here it's telling us that this web part is now receiving values from fiscal year. This filter is sending its values to sales dashboard. And down here, create a connection that sends filter values to the dashboard. And this time it passes it into the measure parameter. All right, so stop editing. The work is done. This means someone can navigate to the dashboards library, open up our dashboard, and here's the experience that they'll see. The ability to come in here and to modify the values being passed in through the filter. Update straight away. Change the measure this time to profit. and also interact by selecting the other regions, or even multi-selecting. Now you can clap. There's an end-to-end example of how you can build up a dashboard feel within a single Excel workbook. In this case, working with interactivity features like slices, bringing in multiple data connections, and using our own logic to combine data across the two connections. I would wonder how anyone else would choose to solve this particular problem if that's what you needed to deliver. Can anyone think of any viable alternatives? Okay, I didn't think so. That's cool. That's the first demonstration. So when is it a good idea to use these cube functions? So when dashboard style layouts are required, like just demonstrated, especially when published to SharePoint and rendered via Excel services. This is a good one to reproduce reports that must look and behave similar to legacy reports. I have customers that are very much like, we can't change anything. Yes, you can build a new cube to represent the data, but that report must look the same. And especially if that report comes from Excel, that's straightforward. Cell by cell, we just replace what your old logic was with cube member and cube value functions. To overcome limitations of pivot tables and pivot charts, for example, I want a sparkline that sits inside that report. You can't do that in a pivot table. Now, there are alternatives. If anyone's familiar with the getPivotData function, this allows you to extract values from a pivot table. I would only ever suggest using that if it's a non-OLAP pivot table. In fact, if it's a pivot table based on a relational source or local Excel data. But if your pivot table is based on a cube, really the approach should be via these cube functions. Customized MDX. Well, pivot tables are getting better and better with the ability to customize sets and calculations, but it may not still allow you to achieve what you need. To integrate data from multiple data sources, as just demonstrated. Or, in fact, it might be to produce easier logic. The logic we want might be easier to do inside Excel, bring in a couple of values, and then use Excel formula to manipulate what we need. Instead of trying to learn DAX or MDX to enrich the data model to have that very same calculation. Now, there are times not to use the cube functions. So when a pivot table, pivot chart, or even PowerView could just deliver the same result, of course, it's going to do it far more faster. Your productivity will be higher if you just use that approach. When interactivity features are required, like sorting and filtering, now you can achieve some of those effects. You saw that the cube set function does allow you to pass in the sort order, so you could drive that through some user input. Slices are a great way of interacting and filtering, so you can achieve some of that. Okay, but you may not be able to achieve everything, for example, what PowerView can do by cross-filtering. The selection of this chart and a bar in this chart will cross-filter the table, for example. Here's a classic one, the cube-ranked member, as you saw. When you request a member from the set that exceeds the boundaries of the set size, you're going to end up with an error. So there are some reports, and many reports, where you just don't know, according to the filter context, how many members there will be. Show me the customers for 2012. Well, that's going to be different likely to the customers of 2011. So how many are you going to accommodate? Because you must do that at design time. Now, one workaround for that, by the way, is you can use the error if function. So you can actually say, well, we don't expect that there would be any more than 30. Today we have 10. So I would just have 30 there, and I'd have the error if function that would just return empty string if it encountered a missing member. Okay, but this now gets into the realm of tedious report design, right? Recommendations then. Learn the cube functions by starting with a pivot table and converting it to its formulas. Reverse engineer it. No MDX to customize beyond the basics. That exist function was important because of the cube design that I was given. Don't be afraid to work beyond the IntelliSense. The IntelliSense is only going to allow you to select dimensions, hierarchies, and members from within. It's not going to prompt you to apply MDX functions to retrieve the members or sets that you're really looking for. Adopting a methodical design will pay off. And as you've seen here in my example, was that this is my scratch area. Users will never see it because I've only allowed the publication of the named range, which is the dashboard area. Okay, so either define this range above or outside your report, potentially on a different worksheet within the same workbook. Strive for parameter-driven designs. So this can help you when you identify that there are many similar reports, slightly different, that sometimes they want sales, sometimes they want profit. well, parameterized measure, as I did, and now I've got a report that will work across any measure. Even, oh, it doesn't make so much sense here, though, I could change this to profit percent. It works, it's just that my format doesn't work, so that's something that might catch you out. So we can be dynamic in the way that we pass values into cube functions. Dynamic in that it could be MDX that's being resolved dynamically at the data store, or it could be Excel formula that's dynamically constructing the MDX. I gave you examples of both. Use slices and timelines to prompt users to filter the report. Use template functions. So when I created the cube value function, I spent good time ensuring I had the right relative versus absolute references in there, and then I just copy across and copy down. Define captions to allow the cube formulas to blend into the report. As I demonstrated here, that's actually a cube set with a caption of category. Expressions cannot be greater than 255 characters. This is an Excel limitation, but the workaround for this is put your expression in a cell and pass the cell reference into the function. And then give consideration to the performance of individual queries that must be sent to the data model. As I've mentioned earlier in the session, there could be literally hundreds of queries that could be sent, and that could be inefficient at some point in time. Let's wrap up with some advanced scenarios. I'm interested if there are any questions at this stage before I continue on. Yes? Okay, so the question is, what if another category was added? Does anyone know what the answer would be? Would they see it or not see it? It depends. So because we're using a cube set function, then that cube set will be dynamically resolved every time. In this example, we can return back to this and see the cube set is saying, just give me the members at the category level of the products hierarchy. The question would be, where does it fit within the order? Okay, and because we're only requesting the first four here, you're not going to see it. What that means is if AdventureWorks added a new category to that first data source, you'd have to come in, open up this report, insert a row like this. You'd probably copy this one down, copy, paste, and then you would come in here and make that, well, you wouldn't actually have to change anything. A5 should have resolved it. If I change it to 4, you'll see it works. Okay, you'd have to manually do that. There's a time when not to use cube functions. If you know that you've got dynamic sets like that. Where it would work nicely in this situation is if my report had the 12 months of the year on the rows. We know that there's always going to be 12 months, so that would always work. Or the columns, I have 4 quarters. No problem. That's going to be the same every year. Okay, so a pivot table would be a better solution if you've got that situation. Any other questions? Yes? Okay, so the question is really about the data validation capability of Excel, I'm guessing. That what we can do on the data tab here is you can use data validation and you can force that a user selects from list. That will deliver a drop-down list. Okay, you can do that, no problem, because all it does is pass out a value that can be then used in an expression. However, Excel services will not render this. The moment you use a feature like this, Excel services will not load the workbook. So you want to avoid features that disable the Excel services scenario. This may not matter if it's a local solution that you work with just on the desktop, then you can use this feature. Okay, so let's consider some advanced scenarios. Macro-driven layouts could come to the rescue of the fact that we've got a new category in there. However, this opens up the exact same discussion. The moment that it's a macro-enabled workbook, Excel services won't touch it, so we can't use it server-side. But if that's not a restriction for you, use macros to just lay out. You can bring up a cube set function, bring up the cube set count, and then through VBA, you can enumerate through and just populate all of the cube ranked member functions automatically. Produce reports that integrate members and values from multiple data models. So I will confess to you that I simplified the scenario by ensuring they had identical dimension and hierarchy names. All right, it will become much more tedious, not impossible, but you'll have to translate structural names as well. Okay, I got away with using the same MDX to retrieve the quarters from one data source as the other. In the real world, that's likely not to be the case. So you're going to have to be much more careful about the way that you access the different structural items across the data sources. Use the table analysis tools in Excel so you could data mine the results of the cube functions. If you bring back the data and format it as a table, then you can use other capabilities of Excel to do something with that table. So this is one way that you might want to mine data coming from a data model. Get into cube functions, represent it as an Excel table, and then use the analysis tools to data mine it. If you create that Excel table, there are other scenarios. Visio services can also be used, and if you saw my demo this morning, to bring diagrams to life. So one of the restrictions of Visio services is that you cannot query a cube or an analysis services model. You can query via Excel services. So what you can do is bring in the values of interest into Excel, and then you can get to them that way. Apps for Office is an interesting scenario, so I'm going to demonstrate this for you now. Having not succeeded terribly well in this morning's demonstration without internet to do this, let's take a look. Another question. What's the recommendation for maintaining connections? Centralize them and reuse them. So as was the case here in SharePoint, I defined a data connections library. I created ODC files and published them there. I approved them and secured them, and then I used them consistently. Should we need to change a connection string, I only have to change it in one location. You can define them embedded into the workbook itself if you want. Okay, so how about I create a whole new report here? We might have something like year, and we might ask what measure they want. And then what I want to do is return the top 10 countries, or rather, let's use US states, it's a little easier. The top 10 US states for that year for the particular measure. Okay, so basically that's just bringing a cube set, right? Bring in a cube set based on reseller sales, and I have a top count function. Top count. Go to my reseller dimension, there's a geography hierarchy. In that hierarchy, I know there is a state level. In fact, let's do it the proper way, all.UnitedStates. And then I'll just say, give me the children of United States. And that will give me all of the states beneath United States. Having considered all of those members, I only want 10 of them. And the order in which you will find the top will be based on this expression. Measures. I'm going to be lazy, B2. And then I also want to pass in the year, so date.fiscalyear. Nope. What have I done wrong? So I'm missing an ampersand here. B1 should be a square bracket. And there should be an ampersand there. Okay, this is why I think it's a better idea to incrementally build it up. I was being a little ambitious. Let me quickly scan across this. That's cool, that's cool. Measures dot, da, 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 comma, date, fiscal. Square bracket here is missing. And then I haven't populated these, thank you. 2010, sales. Yes. All right, how many members do we have in the set? Were you paying attention? 10, well there should be 10, you can always test it. Let's just put a caption on there so I know that that's going to be my states. And what I'll do is build up a whole new table here. Equals cube ranked member from that connection using what we find in here. Row of A1. California is the top. And there's the top 10. And then I'll bring in some value. We don't know what it is. We know it's going to be a sale at the moment. So this equals the cube value. Same connection for this, comma. And then I need to build up that tuple again, don't I? So it might be easier just to copy it from here. There are, lock in these for, there's my top 10 states for 2010. Does that change in 2011? Does somewhat. Okay, this lets me show off a really cool feature added to Office in 2013. They are called the Apps for Office. I don't know why it does this every time in the middle of a demo. It forces me to have to sign in again. Every time. Even though just prior to the demo, I've just signed in. So what it registers against your live account are apps that you've subscribed to, of which I've subscribed to three. There's KPI, there's Bing Maps, there's Bubbles. These are freebies. You can pay for some of them as well. I'm going to bring in Bing Maps. These are HTML5 applications, so they use JavaScript, CSS, REST API. These can be developed by web developers typically. And so now what I can do is say that this range of data, go ahead and map it. Actually, I need the titles as well. So this is a cool way to bring in cube data and represent it through something like this. What happens if I change this and say I want 2012? Okay, it updates. So the data in the worksheet updates and the data passed into the app itself updates. There's another cool one. I'm not sure of the business applicability of this, but Bubbles. You know, some pretty creative people out there. This requires a table of data. So that means that I'm going to have to take this range here and make it into an Excel table. And then I can select it. How cool is that? All right, by using keys like the down arrow, we can force more gravity. Look at this, things get heavy. Or the up arrow, less gravity. You know, I'm not exactly sure how useful this could be, but if you need to see side by side the proportion of what the states have achieved, well, here you go, it didn't cost you anything. All right, now the cool story is if you publish this to SharePoint, and Excel Services renders this, and it will, providing administrators have allowed that Apps for Office can be used. Now, they are safe. They're just little HTML applets. But these can also be represented through dashboard layouts and such forth in SharePoint.
Do the apps then need internet access to work?
Do the apps need internet access? They do when you at least add it. And I have noticed from time to time they want it again. And sometimes they don't. So they seem to want to go back and confirm whether you're still paying for the subscription, if that was the case. I have asked the questions at Redmond to find out what the exact mechanics of this is, and no one seems to be able to tell me. Okay, so I don't have an exact answer for you on that, and I don't find it documented online. SharePoint caches them as well, which is something. This one here? And that's because the geocoding that's going on, that's the Bing Map server saying, well, you just give me the word Washington. Okay, so if you wanted precision on that, you'd need to pass in Washington, USA, probably. Or use Latin long would probably be a better answer. Okay, so yes, that is a shortfall, but it could be addressed through more complete labels for the geocoding process. Any other questions? Well, your question is Power Pivot, when you say Power Pivot, do you mean a pivot table? Well, here's an example, and I think this addresses your question, you know, where I said that if you knew that the membership wouldn't change, like a new category, like the 12 months of a year, the 4 quarters of a year, or a top 10 report, we know it's always going to be 10. These are actually safe reports to doing cube functions. Okay, does that answer your question? Yep, so you wouldn't need to do that in a pivot table. Right.
And then built a queue off of that that had dual warranty in it. That way you could have everything in the one report with the power view.
So the question or the feedback I'm getting here is that warranties couldn't have... didn't need to be in a PowerPivot workbook. You could have actually consolidated them into the model. But I don't think that's so easily done. If the reseller sales was a corporate data model, a cube, written by the IT department, maintained by them, and I say, I want my warranty data in there, and they say, well, this is just an ancillary part of the business. We're not concerned with this. No. Here's a classic self-service solution whereby I create my own model in PowerPivot, publish it to SharePoint, and then I can bring them together here. I didn't need to publish it to SharePoint. I could have created that report in the same workbook. I could have used an internal model and an external model to produce what I did. Okay? I think you'd find it challenging, especially there's all sorts of business logic and data in that cube, to really try and replicate it for the benefit of getting that one warranty line in there. Last demo is to show you a macro-enabled approach. So, of course, this will not work in Excel services, but here's an example where we want the top salespeople, but we want it to be dynamic. I've got a scratch area up here. Really, the way that it works, if I go ahead and turn on... add the developer tab... you see that I've got this method here that's called update report. I've sharpened my VBA skills. What it will do is fire off an input box that prompts the user, how many of the top employees do you want? It validates that we pass in something sensible. And then what it does is it passes that value into the top count named range. Top count named range is sitting here, which then allows the set to be driven based off it. Then there's a cube set function here that uses that set expression, and then we're just testing here how many members. I might request the top million. We only have 15 salespeople, so they may not be the same thing, the request versus the membership that actually gets returned. Based on all of this information then, we can just go ahead and loop through that cube set count and just build up the formulas and lay out our report. Okay, so that gets around the issue. Here I'm using that data validation technique. So show me profit percent and apply this for the top 10 salespeople, and voila, it just builds out the report for us. Nothing wrong with this approach except if you're going to use Excel services. Any questions about it? All right, well, they were my final demonstrations. A couple of words if you're upgrading from 2010 to 2013 and you're using PowerPivot is that they changed the name of the workbook connection that references the PowerPivot data model. It used to be called PowerPivot data model, I think, and now it's called this workbook data model. If you're using cube functions against the 2010 version, then you'll need to replace all of those connections with this workbook data model. That can be achieved through a simple search and replace. Let's wrap up with a summary then. The cube functions are available and have been since 2007, 2010, and still available today in 2013. There has been no change to them. They allow creating report layouts on a cell-by-cell basis that provides you great control over what you deliver. Reports can allow user input by using slices, timelines, and cell values that simulate parameters. And using the cube functions, as I hope you've learned in this session, will work for some report designs, but not so well for other report designs. Let's wrap up by reminding you that the evaluations are very much appreciated by us. If you can take the time to complete an evaluation for this session, we'd be appreciative. We'd love to hear your feedback on it. Beyond that, I will thank you for your time and attendance and welcome any further questions offline. Thank you.